BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk here on BCY America. We're broadcasting live from the 2022 Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin Conference, taking place in Wisconsin Dells. And we thank you for joining us. We're kind of in an open room. You may hear a little bit of room noise, echo, et cetera, but we want to thank you for joining us here today from this live conference. As homeschooling has really taken off across the nation, we're going to be talking with a number of different guests and individuals here today on the program, and certainly, though, we do want to thank all of you for tuning in here for Crosstalk. As you know, normally Fridays we have the News Roundup program. Yesterday we did such a program in order to broadcast live and featured some guests here from this special conference. And our first guest here, it's our privilege to have Amy Buckmeyer with us. She's a staff attorney with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association and serves as a contact attorney for some 13 states. Amy, welcome here to Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us, why are so many families choosing homeschooling today?
Well, I think many families are discovering that this is something that's good for their children. For many, this is not something they ever considered, and because of the pandemic bringing them home, they got to hear what their children were learning in school. They got to be engaged for the first time in those curriculum and discovered this is something I can do for my kids. Mm-hmm. I can be part of this.
This was something, homeschooling was something was kind of scary many years ago because people wondered about its legality and so forth. And give us a word about the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, because you helped give that special netting underneath the tight wire, so to speak, for parents who are trying to walk that tight wire and want to make sure that they're protected.
Yes, so the Homeschool Legal Defense Association has been around for almost 40 years. We exist to help homeschooling families know what the legal rights are in their states, help them get in compliance with the law, help them if they have any concerns with social workers, truancy officers, government officials that might push back on their homeschooling, and even for homeschool graduates that face legal problems when they're applying for jobs, when they're looking to get into college, and might need an extra boost to make sure that they're doing legal. When we started in 1983, homeschooling was not legal in many states, and at this point it is now legal in all 50 states. And it's not an approval process. It's something any parent can choose to do and take that discretion over their children's education.
In any state?
Any state.
And that is something that has been a fear factor for many, and we're going to be having you address some of those issues here today. But for some, the whole matter of homeschooling is a very overwhelming thought to them. One might wonder, can I do it as a parent? What would I choose to use for a curricula? How do I even begin these things? How do I research what the laws are in my state? Because we know things vary from state to state as to what is required there. And some may be concerned that will they have social services coming after them, thinking that perhaps my children are going to be considered truant if they're not walking through the doors of the local public school. And also, many wonder as to how am I going to make it through this. So if you would address some of those concerns that many parents have, we know some states are very warm toward homeschooling, mm-hmm. others are not. How do they even find out how their state views homeschooling?
Yes, so HSLDA is going to be your one-stop shop for all those questions. You can go to either hslda.org or youcanhomeschool.com, and you can see all the state's legal requirements, kind of the forms if you're a member for what you need to fill in. You can contact us if you're a member and talk to our legal team, or you can talk to our curriculum consultants who can walk you through what the best curriculum is for your student. If you have a child with particular special needs, if you just are overwhelmed thinking about homeschooling through high school, if you don't know how to get started with your preschooler, we have homeschooling moms who also have extensive teaching experience mm-hmm. who can walk you through that and help you find what's best for you and your family.
I'm going to have you give those websites again, but slower, so yes. People have the opportunity to write them down and to be able to address, to look up and find out about homeschooling laws and some of the other issues. So give us those two sites
yes.
again.
So it's HSLDA, Homeschool Legal Defense Association.org, or a bit easier to remember, it's just youcanhomeschool.com.
Youcanhomeschool.com. What do you see as being the largest threats toward homeschooling today?
I would say overregulation. Homeschooling is so powerful because parents are able to take back their children's education, and they can tailor it to their students' individual needs. Mm-hmm. And when you have a burdensome regulation on those parents, you're creating more of a threat and a barrier for them when they're trying to fit what's best for their student. So, for example, if you have a child who has special needs and the homeschool regulations say you have to test them every year, a across-the-board requirement like that frequently causes more stress and strain on parents who are just trying to find the best curriculum for their student, the best way to work with them when they have these external barriers placed on them.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen an increase in minority homeschoolers, which has been fantastic, but as part of that, the regulations that can be burdensome can also be things that prevent them from flourishing like they could.
And when you talk about overregulation, I know that as you oversee a number of states, 13 different states yourself, you have other staff attorneys that are looking over other states. What are some of those states that you really see as being over-regulatory in their homeschool laws versus those that are more free?
Sure. New York is the classic example of a very highly regulated state to homeschooling. You have a lot of paperwork you're filing. You have to be in communication with your school district. Lots of different steps and lots of extra burdens placed on the parents. Mm-hmm. There are other states, for example, Idaho, Alaska, Oklahoma, that are no notice. So you just withdraw your child and start homeschooling. And you get lots of opportunity to develop the curriculum that would be best for your student without worrying about what you need to meet to make sure you're not going to be getting in trouble with a truancy law.
Mm-hmm. And other states like this state here that we're talking from, the state of Wisconsin, is basically just notifying the Department of Public Instruction through a simple form saying we're going to homeschool.
Yep. So many states are like that, where you have a beginning of the year, or once at least, you let them know we're homeschooling. In Wisconsin, then you also have a day requirement, and you have some subjects you have to teach.
What would be some common misconceptions people have about homeschooling?
I think one of the big ones that I got growing up, because I was homeschooled kindergarten through senior year, is that homeschoolers aren't socialized, and that is far from the truth. Many homeschoolers are in the community. They are engaging with a variety of resources. There are church, other extra social activities. Mm-hmm. There are homeschool co-ops. There are field trips. There are so many opportunities available to homeschoolers, and they're anything but unsocialized.
So socialization has been a big misnomer that somehow homeschool students are missing out because they're not interacting with kids their own ages. So dispel that rumor for us. What are they? How are they then able to overcome that? Because they're not sitting in a classroom with 25 or 30 other children. What are the things that they do that overcome that?
It depends on each homeschool family, but many find that their children hang out with other kids their age in co-ops, in Awana programs, in churches. They also are interacting with adults and children of all ages, which is one of the best benefits, I think, of homeschooling, is because you have students who are totally comfortable talking with adults or with kids that are younger with them, kids that are their age. It's something that they don't get the same way when you go to public school and you interact with people who are your exact same age the entire time.
Amy Buckmeyer with us here today, staff attorney with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Again, their website, hslda.org, standing for Homeschool Legal Defense Association, or youcanhomeschool.com, youcanhomeschool.com. So socialization is one of those misconceptions. Give me another.
The fact that homeschooling is commonly thought of as a middle-class white thing to do, especially with this pandemic, we have seen an increase in minority homeschoolers. So at the beginning, it was about 3.3% of black households homeschooled. Well, now we have it up to 16.1%. Hispanic households are up to 12.1%. Asian households are 8.8%. They're the exact same numbers you're seeing from more traditional white households. And income median is all over. Homeschooling does not belong to one tax bracket.
Why are they doing this? Why are they not going back into the public education system?
For many, they're finding it's not meeting what their students need. They can give them individualized attention. They can focus on the subjects that they want their kids to be specialized in. They are not comfortable with what they're learning in school, and they can be the ones that are making sure their children are learning their values, and especially I've seen it in the Hispanic community, where they want to be bringing a Christian faith and interaction to their students, and they're able to do that when they're homeschooling more than if they send their kids to public school.
Any other misconceptions that come to your mind?
The fact that homeschooling is something you do alone. Homeschooling is something that's part of, you can join your co-op, you join a group like HSLDA, you join your state group. It's a very interactive and fun experience for students because it's not something that's one building that you go to and you spend from, you know, 8 to 4.
Sure.
You get a chance to be out in your community and engaging with others.
As I mentioned, some people are fearful what will happen. And we have listeners in New York right now, for instance. And what happens if social services comes knocking at our door? What do I do? There is a special arrangement that HSLVA works out with homeschooling families across the nation who actually join in membership with your organization.
Yeah. So if you are a member of HSLVA and you get a knock on the door at the social worker or truancy officer, you can give us a call and even have an attorney on the phone talking you through that situation and helping giving you a strategy in that first meeting with what the best fit for you and your family would be to keep you safe.
There's a lot of parents who wonder, can I really do this? What hope do you have for them as they consider that question? Can I do this? Can I manage my house and everything else going on?
Yes. You teach your child how to walk, how to talk, and it's like that with education. There are tools and resources available to you. So no matter what your education level is, you can homeschool your children. And studies have shown that it doesn't matter what a parent's education level is, students are still thriving. Mm-hmm.
So as you interact with homeschooling families across at least 13 states, you come to conferences like this, and there are many hundreds, thousands that are attending the conference right now. No doubt there are those that will come to you and have a variety of questions. What are some of the main questions that parents come to you and ask?
It can range from how do I get started to what do I do about high school to I've got a special needs child. Can I homeschool them? What will that look like? How is that going to be different than homeschooling my child without a unique challenge? Mm-hmm. And what's fun is I get to point them to the resources HSLVA has. So especially if a child, autistic children with dysgraphia or dyslexia, we have specialists who can help you figure out the best way to educate your children if they're facing that. Or if you're just intimidated by high school, we have specialists that can help you figure out how to schedule, how to record keep, how to put together a transcript. All the fun stuff.
Sure. And so therefore, if they go to hslda.org, they will find resources that are available to them, even to take them from square one. Never done this before, mm-hmm. but need some help and guidance in doing so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We've got a legal team. We've got curriculum consultants. We've got a whole abundant resources for them.
Mm-hmm. And the main reason you're finding that people want to homeschool is what?
They want to give their children the best education they possibly can, and they've discovered that they're the ones that are empowered to do it because they're the ones that know their kids best.
Some will say they don't have the opportunities, music, sports, etc.
Those are all resources that are available. You can find them through your local homeschool co-op. In some states, you can access certain sports activities through schools. You can find them in local private schools. There is an abundance of opportunities out there. My own siblings did theater. They did sports. I was involved in political things throughout my high school years. No matter what state you're in, there are resources available for you.
Great. Well, Amy, we appreciate you coming by and being part of our broadcast here today as we're live from the Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin Conference being held in Wisconsin Dells. What do you want to leave with the listeners here today?
You can homeschool. It is indeed your right as a parent and your ability, because you are the person who cares most about your kids and who knows your kid best. You can, no matter what age they are, give them the education they need.
Mm-hmm. And if they have further questions?
Check us out at hslda.org.
Great, hslda.org or youcanhomeschool.com. Amy, thank you so much for being with us here for this quarter hour.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. Amy Buckmeyer with us here today, staff attorney with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And again, folks, you can check out the websites. They have available information pertaining to resources that they have available. And certainly you don't have to go it alone. hslda.org, youcanhomeschool.com. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have scientists finally solved the mystery of the origin of life?
No, they haven't, Chris. And many of their claims reveal their desperate state. Recently, a simple microbe was discovered around a deep-sea volcanic vent. It was totally unique, and it was hoped that this microbe would tell us something about the origin of life. But now that this microbe has been well studied, it was found not to be primitive at all. It is equally complex as many of the microbes alive today, and could not be considered an ancestor of any of them. And that's the point we can learn. Even the simplest living things are unimaginably complex. Each is different from the other, and yet each bears the signature of having been created by a very intelligent designer. None of these got here through random evolution. They were created by an intelligent creator back in Genesis.
For more on the importance of creation, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk from the VCY American Network, broadcasting live from the 2022 Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin Conference, being held in Wisconsin Dells. And it was our privilege to be invited here to the conference and to meet a number of parents, several sitting in the room right now where we're broadcasting Crosstalk from, others in other workshops and some in the expo hall right now here at the special conference, but focusing in on home education today. And with us for this next segment, we welcome Carl Kirby. He is president and founder of Reasons for Hope. Prior to founding this, Carl was a founding board member of Answers in Genesis, served there for some 15 years, a former air traffic controller in Chicago at O'Hare's airport, a co-creator and host for the video series Weapons of Mass Instruction, presenter of the DVD series for teens, Demolishing Strongholds, presenter on the Becoming Bold DVD series and teens for teens and adults, also author of numerous books, including your latest, Did Jesus Commit Suicide, and other questions, too. That'll be provocative for a future Crosstalk program that we focus just on that, but also producer of a series of videos on, it's called Debunked. Carl, welcome here to the broadcast.
Mr. Jim, it is always a privilege to be with you, man. Thank you.
Increasingly, Carl, you have been engaged more than just creation-related issues, but really the area of apologetics, helping people to be engaged in this area. And for those who have no idea what this word apologetics is, what is it?
1 Peter 3:15 tells us to be prepared to give an answer. And that word answer is where apologetics comes from. And it, literally, the easiest explanation is to be able to give a logical, reasonable answer why you believe what you say you believe. So even though it sounds like apologize, it's actually the exact opposite of it. We have nothing to be ashamed of. As Christians, when we study the word and use it as our foundation, allow it to be the starting point from which we start all of our thinking, it gives us answers to these issues that the world is throwing at us. And yes, it's going to be a different answer, but that's because our starting point is so different from those that don't have a God that created everything.
Some would say that's just for a college-level setting, this matter of apologetics, or when you enter into adulthood. You would disagree with that.
Oh, absolutely. I've been on the road since last Thursday, and I've spoken in two different schools. I had two teen sessions here, and I can guarantee you that you...
Please stand by as we attempt reconnecting with Jim Schneider.
Of captivating videos as well, captivating videos that are very helpful in knowing and understanding what's going on.
Absolutely. Our website is rforh.com. Stands for Reasons for Hope, rforh.com. But I tell folks to do that same thing, rforh, on your app store and download the app, because there's hours, Mr. Jim, hours of video. And all those videos that you're alluding to, Debunked, all 21 of them are up on there free of charge. Debunked TV, you guys are carrying that.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And that's on VCY, but that's also on the app. Season 2 is filmed and is being edited right now. So the app, our website are just, to me, honestly, the app is the best tool I can put in your hand, because all of our DVDs, I'm putting them up there free of charge because I want people to have information.
In addition, we're putting them up at vcy.tv well to have those available and for people to download and get those answers when these issues are coming up. Sadly, we see statistics that are taking place in which there is a growing number of young people, when they get out of the home, I get away from mom and dad, they're also trying to get away from the faith that they were taught in as well. What is causing that to happen?
I would say when you are raised in a system that, again, tries to take man's word, man's history of astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry, and they learn that as fact, and then we are just coming along and sprinkling a little Jesus on all of this stuff, It's not going to work. You cannot keep the Christian morality. You cannot keep that if you don't have the proper history. So where I believe the church has fallen short many times is that we kind of got relegated to teaching our fairy tales and our fables instead of teaching the Bible as an authority from the only one who's always been there, who knows everything, who told us what happened, that it is a strong foundation to deal with these issues. We let the world teach our children to think like the world. And then we're trying to put the Christian morality in there, and it will not work.
Wow. Wow. Carl Kirby is with us here today on Crosstalk during this segment from Reasons for Hope. And again, the website R4H, that's letter R, the word for, F-O-R-H.org, R4H.org. A number of resources there to really help and equip the Christian home today.
Yeah.
Individuals who are just searching, you may be listening right now and say, you know, I've wondered about certain things. Mm-hmm. You go to your website and they look at some of these debunked videos that you have put together, and in speedy fashion, in a few minutes, you address a whole lot of issues.
Yeah, and if you don't think people are wondering about this stuff, Mr. Jim, we do Man on the Street interviews, and one of the interviews that we just did in Georgia, a young lady, atheist, agnostic, the whole works, firm believer, evolution. Can you give any evidence for evolution? No. Mm-hmm. Does the Bible have mistakes and errors? Yes. Can you tell us any? No. I mean, no clue. But at the end of this conversation, she says this. She said, and I shared this with the folks today. It's like she shares this. She says, I am a worship leader in a megachurch, and I've been asking these questions. She's an atheist agnostic.
Wow.
And she said, I've been asking these questions, and I can't find anybody to give me any answers. I can't just believe it on my own, but I can't find anybody to explain it. This is a worship leader in a megachurch. It is not just lost folk. It is people sitting in church pews that are looking for these answers, and we need this generation. Boy, we've had probably 300 kids, 400 kids in here that are, they seem to be on fire. And to see them excited, to get out and to want to start sharing their faith, that's what we got to do. We got to create a generation of people getters and not pew sitters.
Yeah. Okay. So how do we become just not a pew sitter for teenagers?
Yeah.
What can mom and dad do in the home to help equip their teen for the issues that are going in the world, and even preteens in this regard?
Boy, I tell you, the way that I raised our children, and I'm not the be-all, end-all. I have failed many, many times, more so than I've probably done well. But I'll tell you, the one thing that we did is we made it an environment where questions were welcome. They were not diminished. We took and we applied our faith. We would watch movies and television, and I know there are people that don't allow that in their home, and that, praise God. But with us, if our children wanted to watch a movie, I'd research it. If I thought we could get something, we would do it. But when we got done watching, we were talking, and we critically evaluated. We broke down the messages that were in there, because I knew that my children at some point were going to get exposed to these things. So how could I teach them to deal with it? Zoos, museums. I took my children to every zoo and museum we could ever go into.
But, Carl, they're filled with evolution.
Exactly. And I'm praising God for it, because I'm saying, this is what they're saying. My tax dollars is paying for that. But now let me go in here and show you how you start from the Word of God. You blow that out of the water.
Yeah.
So spend your money on that mess, because I'm going to come in and use it to blow you out of the water. Because when you give real answers from the Scripture, ours are so much better. It makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
But that's real. We don't need well, hold up. Carl, get off your soapbox. Memorization of Scripture is very important, but memorization without application is not going to provide what this younger generation needs. They need the backbone. And if you're going to have a backbone, you've got to be able to apply what you're learning. And that's what the zoos, museums, aquariums, and the media, and being able to discern, that's what that gives.
And that's something that your ministry provides, is the tools.
Yeah.
How to really evaluate these things. So not, you know, whether something that they're seeing through their eye gate, like you said, a movie or something, they're hearing through their ears from the educational elites of our day,
right,
or experiencing out in everyday life. You're giving them tools to equip them how to think critically.
Right. We've got in May, I'm so excited about this. We're 11 and a half years as a ministry now, and I from day one wanted to do this. But in May, we're finally releasing the Debunked curriculum. It's going to be 11 units. The first unit's coming out. It's being laid out right now. And finally, we have the application component. The Debunked videos, like you said, are 3.5 to 4 minutes. But they were always designed to be a hook, because they're animated, fast-paced, address a topic to hopefully stir somebody to want to go and dig deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the Debunked curriculum comes along, and now we're empowering the parents, the grandparents, to be the hero to their children and use these things as a way to teach your child the application component. So I'm excited about that. It's taken a long time, but I got the lady who I worked with back at AIG that created the Demolishing Strongholds curriculum, mm-hmm, which was a phenomenally successful curriculum. Well, she's working with me, and her husband, who filmed it, he's working with me, and that's what we're doing.
You're traveling all over the country, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Are you optimistic, or do you have great concern as to where we're headed as a church?
I mean, we know where we're going to be. What did God tell us? It's going to be like it was in the days of Noah, where every thought was continually wicked. So I know what's coming. But I'll tell you what I'm optimistic about is when I sit and I go knee to knee, eye to eye, and not with just younger generation, but with fathers. I've had fathers come up and talking to me here. I've had parents coming up and talking. And when you sit and go knee to knee, eye to eye, there's a remnant out there that we can absolutely fire up and get more involved in sharing their faith. That's what fires me up. It's not a numbers game with me.
There may no doubt be those listening here across the country as well who said, you know, I hear what you're saying, I agree, but I'm overwhelmed by all of this. These are things I don't know myself.
Yeah.
How am I going to be able to teach these things to others when I don't quite know them myself?
That's me. You think, how do you think I felt when I pulled, did Jesus commit suicide? I'm like, what? Yeah. Never thought of that one. You get in, you dig, you study, you find people that can encourage you, and that's where you go.
Carol, thanks for being with us.
Blessings.
R4H.org. R4H.org. We're going to continue here in just a minute, broadcasting live from the Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin Conference. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Socialism has crept into the United States not by accident, but systematically and deliberately. In a March 2022 VCY rally, William Federer delivered a stirring 90-minute PowerPoint presentation, The Dangerous Slide Toward Socialism. Bill took a look back at the history of socialism and its impact around the world. He also read many of the socialist goals read into the congressional record in the 1960s and how these goals either have been or are being implemented today. Bill also provided a warning to America about the dangers of this socialistic pathway we are on. VCY is making available a DVD of this presentation that includes his PowerPoint for a donation of $15. See with your own eyes the quotes and the impact of socialism on a society. Audio CDs are available for a donation of $10. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network. It's the 2022 Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin Conference being held in Wisconsin Dells, and it's our privilege to broadcast Crosstalk your way live, and apologize for a partial technical difficulty here in the previous segment, but Carl Kirby with us at that time, r4h.org, and spoke a whole lot about apologetics and so forth, and just certainly check out their website and stay bold, as Carl would say. Well, friends, it's our privilege to now have with us Israel Wayne, who is founder and director of Family Renewal. He is an author. He's a conference speaker. He and his wife are raising their 11 children in Southwest Michigan, author of numerous books, including Homeschooling from a Biblical Worldview, Full-Time Parenting, A Guide to Family-Based Discipleship, and numerous others. You've been on Crosstalk several times through several of your books through the years, but thank you for being with us today.
Oh, it's a blessing to be back on your show, especially live.
Yeah, so it's good to do it in person. Rather by phone. And what's your reaction to the conference that's been going on here these last couple days?
This is phenomenal. I was really excited when I walked in and saw how many families were represented. And to have an event like this here in Wisconsin is amazing. There are, of course, homeschool conferences that happen around the country, some of them quite large. But Wisconsin has really struggled for quite some time to be able to have an event like this. I spoke at a state homeschooling conference over in the Milwaukee area back in 2013, and that was one of the last Christian homeschool conferences that I know of in Wisconsin. So to have something of this caliber with the quality speakers that they have, a beautiful facility here, of course, at Kalahari here in Wisconsin Dells, it's just been an amazing and exciting event. So I'm hoping that this will be something that people will rally behind and make it an annual.
For those who have never heard of Family Renewal before, acquaint us with your ministry.
Well, Family Renewal is really speaking and writing ministry of my wife, Brooke, and I. I've been doing conference speaking since about 1995, and our focus tends to be on parenting, marriage, and family life. So our website is familyrenewal.org, and we have traveled around the country and literally the world because there's so many needs in families right now. There's so many struggles that parents have. There's a lot of challenges that I think are somewhat new. I mean, for example, one of the topics that I talked about here at this conference was called techno-parenting. And, you know, I grew up in the 1980s, and certainly we had some technology, but you didn't have everybody walking around with a smartphone. We didn't have the internet, actually, when Al Gore hadn't invented that yet.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, we just had a different set of issues. And so that's one in particular that parents really struggle with today, because children are spending 7.5 hours a day in front of screens.
Really?
Yeah, after school, right? You know, they're in school, and then after school, 7.5 hours. And the really discouraging part of that is so are the parents, right? And so it's just a challenge that parents have with all the information that comes in through social media and so forth. So
you know, let me just interrupt you here for a moment, because we just aired an audio clip on Crosstalk the other day of a school teacher from Kansas that was advocating we need to teach these gender-related issues and transgender things in the schools, because children in kindergarten who have their smartphones are learning this information, and they have questions, and we need to be addressing it. Doesn't that put alarm bells in your mind?
Well, I think any time that you're assuming that the government is supposed to be teaching children, especially about sexuality, it puts alarm bells in my mind. You know, one of the things that is fundamental to what I do is teaching parents that you really are responsible for the discipleship of your children. And so as parents, we really do need to realize that the culture is out to indoctrinate our children into an anti-Christian worldview. So we need to show up and make sure that we are, you know, not just being reactive, but that we're being proactive, and that we're having those conversations before the culture gets to them.
Israel Wayne is with us right now from Family Renewal. Familyrenewal.org is the website. And Israel, I'm sure that one of the first questions many people have when they find out that you have 11 children, they say, how do you do it? How do you manage that? Some parents say, you know, we're pulling out our hair, which is 3 children. How do you do it with 11?
You know, it's interesting.
Can you really have a peaceful home doing that?
Well, you can have an active home, which we do. But, yes, you can have a peaceful home. And one of the things that I've found with 11 children is people think of it as though, you know, they have 2 or 3 children and they just multiply that exponentially. Well, that's not how it works exactly, because God doesn't give you all 11 of those children like within a 2 or 3 year span.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that would be sheer chaos. But, you know, I have a 21-year-old. I have 4 teenagers living at home. And so sometimes I'll ask a mom who has, say, 3 young children, and she feels overwhelmed and stressed out. I'll say, well, what would happen if you had 3 teenagers who could come to your house, who could help watch the little ones, who could maybe wash the dishes and, you know, help look after things, maybe even let you have some time to have a nap? What would that be like if you could trust them completely? She'd be like, that would be amazing. That would be life-changing. I'm like, well, that's our reality, right? Because we have a family. And the other thing is that our children always have somebody to play with.
That's true.
They have a built-in – people ask that we homeschool our children. So people always ask us that socialization question. When you have 11 children, like, you have your own baseball team.
Yeah,
you have built-in socialization, right?
Yeah, indeed. And that really bears another question. Okay, so you've got 11 children. They are all different ages, and that's a question that many parents struggle with. How am I going to teach individuals, my children, in different grade levels to have the time to do that, pour that into each child, and also have some preschoolers at the same time? How do we do it?
Sure. One of the books that I wrote is called Answers for Homeschooling. And in that book, Answers for Homeschooling, my wife actually wrote a chapter called Teaching Multiple Grades at Once. And so one of the things that she does is she group teaches. So she'll have 4 students, for example, that are in the same class for history. And then she has activities that the toddlers do and so forth. So I would encourage people that are trying to figure out the logistics of that to check out our book, Answers for Homeschooling. Also, we have a free podcast that's just called Family Renewal. If you go to our just Google search that, Family Renewal podcast, we have an episode where my wife and I talk about that. How do you teach multiple children at once? So we answer those questions for families, because obviously a lot of families are struggling with even 2 or 3 trying to figure out how to make it all work.
Are you saying it's easy, Street?
Well, I don't think marriage is easy. I don't think parenting is easy. But I will say that I don't find it exceptionally difficult, to be honest, because a lot of it is if you train your children when they're really young, and you don't end up having so many of the headaches when they get older.
Yeah.
And so that's part of like my book, Raising Them Up, Parenting for Christians. It's one of the things I talk about there is the importance of putting the time in on the front end, because it saves you an awful lot of grief later.
Yeah, and I think that's really important that that be addressed, because there are many parents who say, I can't wait for my kids to get out the door to go to school every day, and feel that stress and frustration and don't feel that they could even handle that aspect. Sometimes the wrong behavior will come from children, and just to relieve themselves of the stress, they say, well, okay, you know, just go ahead. It's not quite the right way to go about doing it.
Yeah, one of the books that we wrote that's probably our bestseller, actually, is called Pitching a Fit, Overcoming Angry and Stressed Out Parenting. You had me on your show a while back to talk about that. And because so many parents deal with stress, frustration, anger with their children, and so we give biblical answers for how to deal with those things. But the scripture really talks about how children, especially Psalm 127, how children are a blessing. They're a reward. They're a heritage. They're an inheritance. There's all this rich language that the Bible gives us about how we're supposed to view children. And our culture teaches us to view them as a curse, as an annoyance, as a nuisance. We really need to put on the mind of Christ when we think about family and saturate our mind in Scripture so we actually have a biblical view of family as opposed to this anti-child viewpoint that the culture has.
And you know, Israel right now, and I saw just recently a billboard campaign that is going up to encourage people not to have children, stop having children.
Well, there's a whole, it's interesting because even Elon Musk, the billionaire you know, with Tesla, he's telling people that we're creating an economic crisis in America. He says, if you are physically able to have children, you need to have children because we're imploding economically to a great extent because we're under the required birth rate for economic sustainability. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not a biblical argument. That's just a pragmatic argument. But you see that in Europe. You see it in Greece. You see it in a lot of nations that have actually, you know, experienced almost bankruptcy. A lot of it has to do with the fact that they have just rejected childbirth. Japan, other places like that. The Bible talks about how children are a blessing, and even economically, there's a lot of research out there that shows the importance of families and family units, not just bringing children into the world, but teaching those children in a family unit how to be productive.
Israel Wayne is with us here today on Crosstalk for this segment. Again, we're broadcasting live from the 2022 Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin Conference being held in Wisconsin Dells. Israel is founder and director of Family Renewal, their website, familyrenewal.org. Israel, another question that people have, even in considering the matter of homeschooling, is, okay, so I've got to fulfill these requirements of so many hours, how can I keep up with making the meals of the home, keeping the house clean, having the house take care of all the responsibilities for the house and homeschool at the same time?
You know, there's obviously a genuine aspect to that question, but let me address something first. The National Department of Labor Statistics came out with a study recently, and they said that parents after work, this is mothers and fathers, watch 4 hours of television or Netflix every single day of their life.
My.
4 hours. So in some ways, it's not so much that we don't have the time, it's that we haven't chosen to prioritize it well. And so I don't want to take away from the struggle because we face all of that. You know, how do you get everything done? I think all families do. But I will say that what I've found is that people find the time and the money to do the things that are the most important to them. And for me, the discipleship of my children and making sure that my children have a Christian education is absolutely a priority. And I will put a whole bunch of other things aside, whether it be hobbies or, you know, free spending my money in ways that are more convenient for me to ensure that my children have access to a quality Christian education and that they have access to my time. And so that means obviously saying no to a lot of things.
You are speaking in conferences all across the country, things just like this and other matters as well. What are some of the most common things you hear from parents? Some, no doubt, coming to you for counsel. We're not going to give away any privacy concerns. But what are some of the top issues that parents are coming to you with, Israel, as it relates to concerns that they have in their parenting?
Well, in the last 5 years, obviously, the anger and stress issue, which is why we wrote Pitching a Fit, the media concerns and screen time, which we include and address within the Raising Them Up book. But one of the big ones that's happening now, and you talk about this all the time on VCY, are issues of sexuality. you know, these children are confused about their own sexuality, and a lot of that is coming through the school system. Schools are teaching 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds that, you know, gender is a fluid concept, mm-hmm. and teaching them that they can redefine their gender and sexuality. And so increasingly from Christian families, they're struggling with even elementary age students who are coming to them saying, I don't see myself as a girl, I see myself as a boy, or vice versa. This is new, right, for the church. And so a lot of us are trying to figure out, how do we address this? How do we deal with these concerns? But those are things that we weren't struggling with a decade ago. But they are very much on the table right now, very relevant.
And areas that parents very much must need to be engaged with their children.
Totally. And I think one thing that parents don't realize is they think, well, I can send my child to school and then I can just give them moral and religious instruction at home. All they're getting in school is academics. That's not all they're getting in school. Mm-hmm. They're getting an agenda. They're getting indoctrination that is anti-Christian. It's not just religiously neutral. It's anti-Christian in most schools. Again, I'm not saying every teacher. I'm talking about systemically. And the parents don't really know what is being taught in their children's schools.
Israel Wayne with us. And boy, a quarter hour goes by fast. We'll have to get you back for a full program here. Thank you for being with us.
God bless.
Israel Wayne, familyrenewal.org is their website, familyrenewal.org. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, Todd Benzman was on my broadcast. He's the author of the book, America's Covert Border War, subtitled The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. Todd came on my broadcast more than 2 weeks ago and warned, well before the national media even picked up on it, that Title 42 was about to be canceled. This was a Trump administration policy that kept illegal immigrants out of the United States due to COVID. May 23rd, it's set to be canceled. And now even the Biden regime's own DHS is admitting this will bring 18,000 illegals over our border a day who get instant, well, sanctuary right here in the U.S. At 18,000 a day, that's about 540,000 a month. We could easily see 5-6 million in our country before the end of the year. This is a massive national security threat. I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. We're broadcasting live from the Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin Conference in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. And, wow, just such a plethora of guests and opportunities here. It's hard to confine the program to just a single broadcast today. Many people walking around and would love to have on the program, but certainly we've been challenged even through the speakers we've had. And for our final segment, Jelaine Appling with us, President of Wisconsin Family Council. Jelaine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jim. Good to be with you.
Are you encouraged? I mean, hundreds of families that are here at this homeschool conference?
I am more than encouraged. I am pumped. Right? It's been a long time in coming mm-hmm. that we've had this kind of conference for homeschoolers here in our state. And I think people are energized. They are excited about what they're seeing and hearing and being able to take advantage of just in the vendor hall, Jim. I mean, there are wonderful opportunities for families to find new curricula or resources that will help them in addition to all these fabulous workshops.
You travel the state of Wisconsin in particular, but you interact with people all across this nation and other agencies just like yours that are dealing with family policy issues. And when you examine education like we have here across this nation, what would you say is the state of education? What are your greatest concerns as we look at the nation as a whole and our state as a whole as it relates to education?
Well, that's a loaded question, Jim. I think, first of all, that we are having serious child abuse in education. I think that...
Child abuse?
Yeah, I actually believe that. First of all, the state that runs our government schools thinks they own our kids. And they think they can do whatever they want with them, however and whenever. and that parents have become not a partner in education any longer, Jim. They've become a nuisance.
Hmm.
And there are attempts all over this country.
Mm-hmm.
We know, because we have cases active here in Wisconsin, that there are efforts to keep information from parents about, in particular, about sexual orientation and
mm-hmm.
gender identity issues. But it's not restricted to Wisconsin. That is nationwide. And what we have is an attempt to, and as Israel was talking about, we don't teach the academics anymore. I mean, look, right here in Wisconsin, our scores on the academic subjects have plummeted, right? I mean, our proficiency levels are just not where they ought to be. And that's because we're far more interested in teaching things we ought not be teaching,
mm-hmm.
values and things about gender identity and sexual orientation and critical race theory and all of that, rather than teaching the academic subjects. Because we've now turned our public or allowed them to be turned into our government schools into places of indoctrination.
Hmm.
Rather than places where they're getting an academic background that will equip them to go out and be marketable in an area where you can actually be a productive citizen and earn a wage and earn a legitimate wage and pay, you know, your way in life, if you will.
You're involved with Wisconsin Family Council, and I know your organization, Jelaine, is involved in public policy issues, and you look for those issues that are impacting marriages, that are impacting the home, the family, and religious freedoms across this state as well. Why are these areas, marriage, gender, the home and family, why are these under such attack today?
Because Satan is alive and well. And he understands that if he can strike at the heart of what makes us as people good,
mm-hmm.
what makes us be able to function as a society, then he's taken it over. And so where do you have to go? You have to go to God's first civil institution, which is marriage and family, right? And you have to get your bow and arrow ready, and you have to load it, and you have to aim that arrow right at the heart of it. And that's what Satan's doing. He's creating an environment and utilizing an environment that is rich for people to say, God doesn't have a plan. If God exists, you know, he's already made mistakes. He made and traps women in men's bodies and all the rest of that. What Satan is doing is robbing us of fundamental foundational truth. So he starts with marriage and family, because if you can separate kids from their families, if you can reduce the marriage relationship that God designed to nothingness, meaning, and that's what's happening in our
mm-hmm.
culture, right? We're saying it's not necessary, it's not good, it's not relevant. If you can do that, you don't have a generation that comes into being that has any kind of firm foundation.
Well.
And so you go for the thing that gives you the most bang for the buck. Satan's not stupid. And so he goes for that heart, for the marriage and family, and destroys it. And, you know, the socialists, the communists, and all the other people that are ill and, you know, their motives are evil. They understood that if we could get to the families, if we could separate moms and dads through divorce, through putting women more into the workforce, and put kids against their parents, which is right what we just talked about in schools, right, that they could then own the next generation.
Can these social trends be countered?
I think they can.
Or are we destined down this path where there's no hope?
Well, you know you're talking to the wrong person on that, because I wouldn't do what I do. I couldn't get out of bed every morning, Jim, nor could you, if we didn't have some message of hope for people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So the scripture tells us that the world's going to wax worse and worse. We understand that. But we're also told as believers, we are salt and light. That is not a commandment. That's a description. And so we need to act like what God created us to be, which is salt and light. And we pour that salt out there. We add savor. We preserve. We shine the light so that people have a bright path to work on, to walk on, and they can see the right and the wrong. And then we're also told in Scripture to occupy till he comes. To me, I know that it's probably not accurate, you know, theologically, but I see that term militarily. Occupy means I'm taking a position where I am going to do both offense and defense. I'm not giving up the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, certainly in these times, God doesn't expect us to sit around and take up Aaron's space and do nothing else. We have the best means to push back. We have the opportunity. Look at the homeschool families. I think there's nobody better equipped than homeschool families to rear the next generation of Christian leaders.
Why do you say that?
Because they're with their kids all the time. They aren't in those public schools. They have in some way minimized the exposure to the messages that get the kids off track. So I don't want to give away all my keynote. Okay. But it's true. they are the ones who have daily opportunities just to pour into those kids about what it means to be a believer, mm-hmm. what it means to stand up in this culture. And if we need more and more families who are dedicated to that proposition, that part of their job, and maybe the most important one they do on earth, is to see their kids come to faith in Christ and to see them become, as Carl Kirby would say, be bold.
Yeah.
Stand up. Tell the truth. Don't become a weakling. Don't wimp out under the pressure. I think homeschool families are absolutely critical to the next generation of young people.
So this is no time to cower.
Oh, this is a time for all of us to stand up and say, hey, I'm here for such a time as this.
Yeah.
We're all, you know, I love that idea. It's not just Esther. It's all of us.
The theme music says it's time has gone by too quickly here, Jelaine, but thank you for being with us. The website?
WIFamilyCouncil.org.
Okay, friends, check it out, WIFamilyCouncil.org. Jelaine, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
And friends, thanks for joining us here today as well on Crosstalk, broadcasting live from the Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin Conference, coming to you from Wisconsin Dells. God bless you, folks. Hey, the Lord's Day is coming up. Make sure you're in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church this Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.